And I invite you to open to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. The 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews.
As you find your place there, I'd invite you to stand as we read the Word of God, in order that we might show it its proper respect. Hebrews chapter number 11, and we'll begin in verse number 1. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1. Here God tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made, but things which do appear. Now let's skip down to verse number 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and as we spend a few moments in it this morning, we ask Your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. A few years back, a man by the name of John Piper wrote a book about his own personal experience called 90 Minutes in Heaven. He writes about, after having apparently died, certainly being revived a little later, but he writes of his experience and the vision that he saw in that 90 interval minutes. An interesting book, a fascinating book. This morning, I'd like to really, as far as the book is concerned, only take from the title for my title. And I'd like to say, this morning we're going to spend 90 minutes in heaven. But I look at the clock and I understand I don't have 90 minutes to spend in heaven with you today. And so we're going to spend about 20, 25 minutes in heaven, Lord willing. And I think if we were going to go to heaven, Hebrews chapter 11 is the place to be. Now you may expect that Revelation chapters 21 and 2 would be the place to be. Certainly wonderful chapters about heaven as they describe the wonderful sights that we'll all see. But as sights are, they grow old very quickly. And I believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to be in awe of that golden avenue. We're going to be in awe of that pure river of the water of life. We're going to be in awe of that city wall and the foundations that are so beautifully arrayed with different gemstones. But after a while, that beauty is no longer recognized for that which it is. It becomes commonplace. It becomes ordinary. It becomes what we just expect as it magnifies all the glory of God. But in heaven, I believe there's something that will keep our interest. Other than, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout all eternity. And that's those with whom we stroll that golden avenue with. And so as we spend our time in heaven today, I'd like to just look around a little bit. Not at the sights, not at the gold, not at the palace, not at the mansions. But I'd like to look for just a few moments at those walking with us along that golden avenue. And hear a little bit about their story. Because you and I are not physically in heaven yet. The Bible in the book of Ephesians tells us that God sees us as if we're seated in the heavenlies already. But physically, here we are on earth, knowing that heaven is our home. What can we learn from heaven that will help us today? I believe these conversations will help. And so as we stroll down that golden avenue, let's look to the right. Who do you see? Could it perhaps be Abel? Look in verse number 4. And as we talk with Abel, we understand this. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. And so let's talk to Cain, or excuse me, let's talk to Abel for just a few moments. Because we understand what took place in Abel's life as he, being the first generation of man born into this world. And as he was instructed by his parents, as we would have our conversation with them, he would inform us of these things. Being instructed of his parents about the sacrificial system and how they were to raise that little lamb and bring that lamb before God and sacrifice that lamb. I think perhaps the question on our mind may be, Abel, was it worth it? Was it worth it? Because of the result of his action, Cain grew angry at him and wrathful toward him and eventually took his life. And so as we're walking down side by side, having the ear of Abel, and certainly he wants to know about my experience and yours as you talk with him. But as we ask him, Abel, was it worth it to walk that straight and narrow path? Cain wanted to walk that broad way wherein many walk, because it was easy, because it was smooth, because there were no bends or turns or twists in the road. Abel, was it worth it to walk that straight and narrow way? Abel, was it worth it to meet the righteous demands of a holy God and do exactly as He expects us to do and exactly as He asks us to do? Abel, was it worth it to walk the straight and narrow? I believe Abel would look at you and wonder why you would bother to ask a question like that. I believe Abel would respond and say, yes, 100 times yes, it was worth it to walk the straight and narrow way for God. Yes, my life ended early. Yes, my life ended violently. Yes, those that should have loved me hated me because I walked a different path than they walked. But it was worth it. Even though Cain is not here, and though I long that he would have been here with me, yes, it was worth it 100 times fold. And so as we leave Cain, or excuse me, as we leave Abel to go his way and strike up his next conversation, and as we continue to walk, let us look to the left. Now who do we see to the left? Could it be Enoch in verse number 5? When God tells us by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And so as we introduce ourselves to Enoch and he introduces himself to us, and as we consider his story and his life and what he did and what transpired, and now he's here in heaven, perhaps we would ask him, Enoch, was it worth it? Was it worth it to walk with God? You see, we hear that Abel one day took a little stroll with the Lord. And it got close to sunset. And God looked over at Enoch and said, hey, Enoch, you know, we're closer to my house than yours today. Why don't you just come home with me and for the night, and tomorrow you can head back home. And so Enoch traveled with God to God's house, and there is no night, so tomorrow never came, and Enoch is still there walking with God in heaven above. And we might ask him, Enoch, was it worth it to walk with God in such close fellowship that God took you home early? You didn't get to enjoy the many centuries that your fathers and your brothers and your aunts and your uncles were able to live. They lived up into their 900s. You only lived into your 300s. Abel, was it worth it to walk so with God in fellowship that God chose to take you a little before you had lived out your days? Enoch, too many names, it confuses me. Enoch would look at you with the same expression on his face that Abel would have had. He would be wondering at the question and saying in his mind, why ask such a question? Of course it was worth it. 100 times it was worth it to walk so close with God that I left the world behind. Enoch understood that the world had nothing to offer. that the world's fellowship was not satisfying. And he would tell us, I've been walking with God for thousands of years. And it has not yet grown old. I have not yet grown tired of His conversation. I have not yet grown tired of His smile and of His face. Yes, 100 times yes. It's worth it. So Enoch would go his way and seek out another conversation. And as we continue down that golden avenue, who do you suppose would come up and take us by the elbow and say, let me hear your story and I'll share with you mine. Well, who else would it be? But in verse number 7, none other than Noah. And we would be kind of spellbound at first with this man with such a legend attached to his name. Such a hero of the faith, this man who built that ark. And here he is wanting to hear our story and offering to share his with us. And certainly we take him up on his offer. And we understand in verse number 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And I suppose if we were having a conversation with Noah, we'd have to ask him, Noah, was it really worth it to invest all that time in building that ark and having all your neighbors and all your friends and all the people from the surrounding area coming to see the spectacle that you made of yourself in building a boat on dry land and preaching that it was going to rain and that the judgment of God was coming? Noah, was it worth it? By now we've gotten used to the expression on the face after we ask the question, was it worth it? Because Noah would cry out 100 times, yes, it was worth it 100 times so. Because God has judgment coming and I warned my family faithfully and they listened and they obeyed and they received Christ and my whole family was saved on that ark. And I tried to reach my neighbors and I tried to reach my relatives as best as I could. They all rejected it, but I don't take back a word. I don't have any regrets of not having warned any. The Bible tells us he was a preacher of righteousness. He says, I've been walking along this same golden avenue, having conversation with others like you for thousands of years now, and I have yet to have a single regret. There are many people I wish that were up here with me, many people I had shared the gospel with, but at least I shared it. He says, I believe it was worth it 100 times so. And if I had to do it all over again, I would do it all over again for the glory of God. He says it was worth it to believe that there really is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain and to warn others and preach to others and share that coming judgment of God. Not as the date setters of Harold Camping recently, who made a fool of himself and a mockery of Christianity by setting the date of May 21. But telling them, though we don't know the time, we do know the facts. We know there is a judgment coming. We know there is a rapture that will take place. We know there is a tribulation that will be endured by the earth. But after the tribulation comes the rough time when God comes to earth. And the judgment takes place. And 1,000 years later, after that, the great white throne judgment. Noah says, all these things are just as true as that flood that came from the sky. And people in our days are just as the people in Noah's days, he would tell us. And he would tell us, get back down on earth and you warn everybody and be a preacher of righteousness. Maybe for 100 years if God gives you that many. Says, but just tell everybody as long as you have breath, because just as certain as the waters came, Christ will return with judgment. And if they reject Christ, they'll spend eternity in hell. He says, yes, 100 times it was worth it to be made a mockery and to be considered a fool for believing in the coming judgment of God. And he would walk away after hearing our story. You see, there were others he desired to speak with, as we also have others we would desire to encounter. And wouldn't you know it, after Noah left and we began to travel back down that golden avenue, there on our left, we find Abraham. And somehow, we may not know how, but somehow we know, hey, that's Abraham. I've got to hear his story. I've got some questions for this man. The Bible spends a great deal of time in his life. I've certainly got some questions for him. And so we get his attention. He very patiently and very graciously, knowing that he has all of eternity to go speak to whoever he desires. But right now, you're the one with whom he desires to speak. And as we speak with Abraham, we understand this as recorded in verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, skip down to verse number 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And as we walk beside Abraham and as we share stories, the question comes into our mind, Abraham, tell me this, if you would, be so kind. Tell me, Abraham, was it worth it to leave your family behind, to leave your profession behind, to leave your job behind, to leave everything you knew that was comfortable behind, and to be a stranger and a pilgrim in a strange land? Abraham, was it worth it? Abraham would give you that same look that the others had given, wondering why you bothered to ask such a question as that. And Abraham would shout out, as the others had shouted out, yes, 100 times, yes, it was worth it all. I would do it again if I had the opportunity, if God desired me to go back to earth and leave everything behind and to go off into a strange land, just simply following His leadership. He says, I'd do it again, 100 times over, if that's what God would desire. Abraham would share with us that life in Ur of the Chaldees may have been a good life with family, a close family, so much so that when he left, he took his father and his nephew with him, along with his wife. He says, I had a good family life. We had a good relationship. We often got together for fellowship and meals and just went to each other's activities when things, important things, came along in life. He says, I had a good job. We didn't hurt for anything. We had everything we needed. We had a good culture, a good society. There was always something interesting to do, some activity to be involved in. We lived in a good part of the land. Life was good. He says, but I'd trade it all in to search for that city if that's what God wanted me to do. Abraham, was it worth it to drag your kids around and take them in places that perhaps they didn't want to go and have them do things that they may not have at the time wanted to do? He would say, yes, 100 times yes. Because I was making the right decisions for them so that they would learn to leave the world behind and live for God and sacrifice the things of this world for the things of the Lord, so that they would understand that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He says, if I had stayed on Ur of the Chaldees, they would have never have learned that. They would have thought this world was all there was. They would have never sought that heavenly kingdom, that heavenly city, which we are in right now. And so Abraham would say, yes, 100 times yes. It was worth it all to leave everything for God. Well, as we're talking with Abraham, up comes Sarah. Sarah starts to share a little bit of her perspective, and then we get to thinking about verse number 11. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And as Sarah is sharing her side of the story and the events that took place in what we know as the life of Abraham, and we think of this verse, we ask her, Sarah, tell me, was it worth it to believe God for the impossible? Because Sarah was 90 years old when God promised her a son. Humanly speaking, an impossibility. There was no way that Sarah should have been able to have a son. But God promised it. Sarah believed. If she didn't believe, we know she laughed at it. She thought it was funny. But if Sarah didn't believe, it would have never happened. Because they put action to their belief. And the result was a son by the name of Isaac. She believed God for the impossible. She put herself out there risking her credibility, risking her reputation on the promise of God. And as we ask her, Sarah, was it worth it to risk everything on the promise of God? Sarah would give you that same look that you'd been getting all day long in our 30-minute stroll through heaven. And she would say, why ask me such a question? Of course it's worth it. Let me take your hand and I'll take you to Isaac and I'll introduce you to this man who became such a fine model of Christ, such a fine boy while he was on earth that gave us nothing but joy in our hearts. Yes, 100 times yes, it was worth it to simply believe God for the impossible. So Sarah and Abraham worked their way off, having been brought into their minds of their son Isaac, wanting to go spend a little time with him. It didn't concern us, knowing that we have all eternity, to stroll down these golden avenues and to meet with whoever we meet. But as we stroll along, we encounter many people. I want to move down to verse 24 for the next person that crosses our path on that same golden avenue. We recognize the dignity of this man. We recognize the aura about him. We recognize this is none other than Moses, this great leader of Israel who led them out of Egypt. And when we understand in verse number 24, some questions come into our mind. When we see by faith Moses, who has come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And as we're walking along side by side with Moses and sharing our stories, we might perhaps be tempted to ask him the question, though by now we would think we'd have learned our lesson. We would ask him, hey Moses, tell me something. Now you be honest with me. Don't sugarcoat anything. I really want to know the truth. What was going through your mind, and was it worth it to look back on it now, to have given up all the treasures, all the riches of Egypt, to give up all the pleasures of sin for a season, and to suffer those reproaches? After all, Egypt was the most wealthy nation on earth. And you may have become Pharaoh, and you may have ruled it all and been the commander-in-chief of the most powerful army on the face of the earth. Moses, you gave it all up. Every last bit of it. And you didn't just give it up. You suffered reproach. You suffered hardship. You suffered difficulty for the rest of your life. Moses, was that a good decision? Now you be honest with me, Moses. Because we understand the world has a lot of pleasure to offer us. The world has a lot of riches and treasure to give to us. If we'll just follow it, if we'll just be faithful to it, if we'll just obey it, if we'll just do as it becks and calls in our lives. And so this is a question we really want the honest truth for as we walk down this avenue with Moses. And Moses might surprise us as he looks at us with that same look of surprise and disbelief at hearing those words proceed out of our mouth. He would say to us, yes, 100 times yes, and I would do it over 100 times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times if I had the opportunity. I would forsake it all for Christ. I would endure it all for Christ. Because the reward far outweighs the affliction, the persecution, the difficulty, and the hardship. Let's turn down a few pages, a few verses, to verse number 32. As we walk down the golden avenue, as we spend our few moments in heaven, and what shall I say more, for the time would fail me to tell of. As we would walk down that golden avenue, you see, we only have 25 minutes in heaven today. The time fails us to continue on with story after story after story of individuals whose lives are recorded for us in the Word of God, whose lives are recorded for us in the pages of history. We could go on in the Christian era and talk to some of those great Christians of the past. And we could ask them, was it worth it? And every last time, we would have that same look of disbelief at the question being put forward to them. And we would hear them say and respond every last time, yes, 100 times yes, it is worth it. You know, from our side of heaven, we might ask that question, is it worth it? Is it really worth it to be faithful to God? And all these things we read about in the lives of these individuals, very similar situations that you and I face, we find ourselves shrugging our shoulders and scratching our head and saying, is it really worth it? Maybe I'll just throw in the towel. Maybe I'll just relax back a bit. Maybe I'll kick up and take it easy for just a little while, catch a little breather. But hopefully after taking a 25-minute stroll through heaven, maybe you say, I better reconsider that. Because yes, 100 times yes, it is worth it. And though we may not know it now, and though we may not believe it now, and though we may not feel it now, when we are in heaven with these same individuals, we too, like them, will be saying to any that would come and hear our story, we'll say, yes, 100 times yes, it was worth it. Folks, it is worth it. Be faithful to God. Do as He says. Follow His lead. Give up the world. Forsake the pleasure of sin for a season. And on I could go. Because yes, 100 times yes, it is worth it. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this great cloud of witnesses of which You tell us in Your Word. Because it's so easy for us to get distracted by the hardships of our lives. Father, help us to be faithful. Help us to simply believe the One who made the promise, none other than Yourself. And Father, if there be even one individual here this morning, that should You beckon them now from this world to the next. Father, be even one that isn't certain of heaven. Father, may You convict their heart of their sin today and show them Christ, crucified for their sin, buried, raised again the third day, and yet coming back, that they might receive You as their Savior. even today. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.